I did go look at the Half Moon Road. It's washed out, and it's kind of grown up. It's about a walking path, but talking with Rob, I mean, it is pretty much unfeasible to, you're talking lots of money. You'd have to do sheet piling and go into the lake, and that hillside has got so many springs, it just keeps caving in and caving in. I did talk with Rob about, I walked it, and you could bring another road in from the top down. Ooh. But it's not bad. I think it'd be way more feasible to do that than, and he's more just, because you're not that far from the trailhead. It's not even a quarter mile. It's real close. And so he's just more thinking about making the trailhead start there. So that's my.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me, because it's, you'd almost have to drive piling, sheet piling.
Would Ross work?
No. Well, you'd still have to put your sheet piling.
I'm sorry, I had to.
But that hill has got so many springs, it's just really active, and I think it's just going to keep coming.
Sounds to me like you should move the trailhead.
Yeah, right now it's just,
that takes care of that then.
Yeah, okay. So I did look at that. Kismet, the Tower Road, it's done. It's ready for cement trucks, whatever. We got that done. It's I run it yesterday. It's I think Chad and everybody will be very happy with it. So we got that done. We got the realignment on the industrial road and the drainage that was washed out on the BLM. We got that all fixed. Mike seen it. I don't know if Mark looked at it, but they were happy with it. So we got that all taken care of. The Willow Creek Road realignment, I've been up there, looked at that. That's looking good. They did the county was said we'd take care of them two big pipes for them lowering the hill. The one's going to be here next week. The pipes went up. The cost of those pipes were $95,341. That was what it cost.
How big a pipe?
They're big.
Did you get them around? Because the one that's there currently is a...
The one's an arch pipe, and the other one's, it's kind of a smash 72-inch pipe. So, but pipes went up 30%, and then you had, so that was our cost on that. That's really all I have for Road and Bridge. Everything else, we've been caught up a little bit. We're starting to get everything bladed and magged, so, I don't really have nothing else on that.
I drove that Lander Cutoff Road last week. That thing's beautiful.
Good.
Too bad Fremont County can't put some mag on their end now that they graveled that.
Yeah, you know, I think that stuff, I talked to them a little bit about it because they were up there at the same time we were up there. And I told them the same thing. They hauled that stuff out of that mine.
I thought that come from the mine.
I think it would work really good if they would have. I think if they would have maybe windrowed a little bit of their, because they pulled the ditches, if they would have mixed that a little bit and magged it, that would have been.
It would have tightened it all up.
It would have been very nice, but it is what it is. But, we're pretty much done. We got down past Aaron Bell's to Farson. That's all done. We're on the speedway right now. And then, so we're kind of starting to get around everything. We're going to try to get up and get them drainage on Jack Creek. I'm getting with Mike to get that where it goes off the side, off the Jack Creek area. We'll get that going. But so we're good there. Waste management.
Before we move on, quick updates. So the golf course, the asphalt's done, the hydrant's been moved, and the crushing out of Cottonwood is done. chip seal, crack seal, chip seal, and fog coat and painting will be done in the next few days. We'll have left the parking lots to surface. That's what we'll left to do, and that's all I've got.
Okay. So industrial road painting for that, I forget.
Yes, it will, sir. And they surveyed that this morning, so they can paint it today.
Okay.
And the chip seals I've checked, yeah, I think they've turned out. I think they're doing really good. I think they look good. So I'm good with that. Waste man, I'm trying to hurry here for you guys. Waste management, last week I met, we did some more testing. We're still testing some of the old dump sites like Boulder and Daniel and stuff. So we did our second phase of testing there, met with him, we did that. Everything's looking good there. We started burning a little more. We've had lots of pallets and trees and shrubs and that coming in, so DEQ asked if we'd burn more, more often. So we've been working with them, getting that taken care of. So we're getting that done. The recycling and moving that hydrant's been great. It's working out way better. It's way safer.
Did you get your other dumpster in there? Because I see the cardboard ones boiling over every day. Amazon's killing us.
You know, the last month, cardboard's like doubled.
Mm.
So we're having to haul them. They're switching them. I don't know why the cardboard's just gone up, which is good because that's where we make our most on our recycling is the cardboard. So I don't know why it's picked up so much, but it has.
Everybody orders everything.
Yeah, it's just the last month has just been crazy with cardboard. So we've had to change. I've been working with Ryan. We've been trying. He's actually had two there, but he's having more problems getting it to Piney. So we're compacting that, but we're working through that.
Because like I said, there was more cardboard outside the dumpster when I drove by than there was in.
Yeah. It's after the weekend, and I've been going down like Sunday mornings and helping getting it.
She was down there Sunday, I think.
Yeah, me and her. Yeah. It's
it's crazy.
Yeah, the cardboard's crazy.
It's nuts.
It was stacked 6 feet deep all the way around it.
Yeah. It's amazing how much cardboard's just been coming in lately. But we'll get it handled. Other than that, everything's landfill's going good. Permitting, Eric says their thing's on track there, so we're good there.
Okay. Any questions for Ben?
Nope.
Great.
Thanks, Billy. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Chad, you're up.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So you've had an eventful morning here so far?
Yeah.
I'll try to be brief. my 45 minutes, I don't think I'm going to save that much time. Started here while I'm handing out the second form on the budget. Spoke with Todd Hurd. We went to bid. I'm sure you've heard that. We didn't get any proposals on doing the exterior siding. After speaking with Todd, he wants to hold off until February to rebid the exterior siding on the fire station. So I guess we'll hold off, and then maybe during the winter months when things slow down a little bit, we'll get a little more interested in doing that work. So we'll wait and see. Emergency incidents. We had 10 emergency incidents last month. And again, this is always a month behind. So, you know, the most recent grass fires and structure fires that we've been having here in the last couple of weeks isn't reflective of that. We've been super busy here just in the last couple of weeks. In fact, I'll give kudos. We had a tremendous response. We had the large structure fire on Pole Creek last week, and we had over 30 firefighters there on scene. We were on scene very, very fast. We were en route within 4 minutes, arrived on scene within 7 minutes, and we're flowing water within 9 minutes afterwards. Unfortunately, because of the fuel load, you know, 3 haystacks on fire and 2 outbuildings in the primary residence were all fully involved when we arrived on scene. It was, and then a red flag warning day, hot, dry, windy conditions, sustained wind on it. And then the natural gas was vented and jetting into the structure. There was just a tremendous amount that was working against us on that one. And so we actually did a very good job of containing the fire to the property of origin and not allowing it to progress to the neighbors. And that was a significant amount of the effort as well, was keeping the spot fires that were popping up in the pasture from progressing to the neighbors and the dry, windy conditions that were going on. So kudos to our firefighters. They did a phenomenal job. I was very proud of them.
What started the pool creek? The brush fire.
So that one, we just finished the fire investigation. There's a bird that was on the top of the power pole, and the electrocuted itself and caught on fire and fell down at the base of the power pole. And we found evidence of bird remains at the base of the power pole, and then a clear V pattern moving away from that power pole onto the. And this is actually the third time that fires have started in that same exact area from. Twice from the same reason. The first time was from a lightning strike in the same power pole. Fire investigations. There was one fire investigation in Pinedale last month, and that was for a camper fire on Willow Creek. Public education. We had a prevention booth at Rendezvous. Our Fireways program. Our Fireways coordinator has been doing a great job meeting with the homeowners associations. He met with Sylvan Bay. He's meeting with ranch owners up in the Upper Hoback actually right now, trying to do we're looking at the Good Neighbor Authority. Joel, help me out. Because the proposed fuel project on private property is contiguous to the Monument Ridge project, there's an opportunity to have the private landowners benefit from that. And so our Firewise coordinator, Willis, is looking into that right now. He's meeting with the homeowners that are in that general area and trying to encourage them to participate and try to...
Okay, just very quickly, who, and I cannot remember his name, but he's one of your firefighters that lives at, not Richard, but one of the other ones that lives in Hoback Ranches. And as far as getting them... some facilitation to bring them together to, he made the comment to me that it needs to be local. It would be a waste of money for us to consider hiring some kind of facilitator. But I suggested that we put him in contact with Willis. Mm-hmm. And because he thinks between him and Richard that maybe the two of them can convince the other landowners that they'd have a better shot at it than somebody from outside the community. And that was going to be my message to you.
Okay.
And you'd know who he is. I'd reckon, if you can think of who it is, I can look it up when I get home. I wrote down.
There's about 6 firefighters that are that are in the Hoback Ranches area.
I'll get that and I'll call you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm supportive of that. The direction I'm trying to take with that is we're trying to encourage a grassroots initiative from the homeowners group themselves to try to look to the problems that are in Hoback Ranches and take ownership of those problems as well. So yeah. Whatever
I'll
makes sense.
Okay. I just wrote it down. I can't remember it and I forgot about bringing it with me.
Yeah.
So, okay.
That sounds great. Well, I look forward to that and I'll definitely support that. We supported the Rendezvous parade lineup and then did some prevention. We had Sparky Dog in Rendezvous. Our smoke detector program is continuing to move forward. We're having great success with that. People still signing up on a regular basis. Training program, we've got a hazmat training scheduled on September 22nd. This is part of a grant that we received from State Homeland Security through their hazmat grant. The training is actually part of a joint effort with Ultra Resources and their safety coordinator and their personnel. And the intent of the hazmat scenario is to test our effectiveness, our ability to work together, establish incident command, make sure that our tools are compatible with their tools and that we know what to do in case of a large hazmat was to ever occur in the industry out there. We've been working to identify the discrepancy in the size of our dry hydrants. As you know, we've got male fittings, we've got female fittings, we've got 6-inch fittings and 4.5 fittings, and they're none of them line up in any way, shape, or form. As a cost savings measure and to address the problem on a very fast process, we purchased enough adapters that our fire trucks are now carrying various adapters to get back and forth from all these different size fittings. It's not the best solution because those adapters take up a tremendous amount of space in our fire trucks. So long term, I would like to address that and standardize all those dry hydrants in the future. But at a minimum, right now, we do have the ability to tap into every one of those dry hydrants. And furthermore, we actually worked very closely with Road and Bridge and made sure that Billy's trucks, all of his water haulers, have access to the same adapters that we do, and he can get access to all those dry hydrants as well. We're scheduled with some upcoming training, the Fire Officer 1 class, Firefighter 2 class, and then one of the things we're trying to do is encourage all our firefighters to get their Class B driver's license. And the problem with that is that in order to obtain that license, they have to drive all the way down to Rock Springs and do the skills and the testing and so on. So what I've done is asked my training officer to obtain that train-the-trainer certificate so he can be a proctor for YDOT, and we can test our own firefighters in-house. And that way it's not such an onerous problem for our firefighters to go all the way down there and take care of that testing process. And so we just finished doing that last week. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I think it'll be successful, and I think it'll...
You used to have that.
Yeah, years ago I know we did, yep. So Will Gay, our training officer, is now the... proctor for YDOT to allow that to occur in the future.
The key to that is you can't send an apparatus with them because then it's off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge problem for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's what we had to do before is I had to take a fire apparatus out of service, drive it all the way down to Rock Springs, and it was out of service all day. And, you know, we're reducing our effectiveness and our ability to provide public protection. But on the other hand, we didn't have any other choice. And, yeah, so we were struggling with that. And so this should be a big deal for us. And then it's also a cost savings measure as well. Training facility usage, as you know, the recruit graduation just recently completed last year with 9 successful recruits. There's three recruits that missed a couple of little things, and they're working to make up what they missed out on. Ultra Petroleum, this is one of the successes of our fire training facility, is we try very hard to reach out to our industrial partners and encourage them to use the fire training facility. Ultra comes down there, and they just were down there last week, and they're using the new natural gas props that we just ran last year, and they're training their personnel on fire extinguisher training for their OSHA requirements, and it's working out well. So last month, 107 people were using the fire training facility. Our health and safety officer, Mike Straw, he's working very closely with the Sublet Center, Rendezvous Point, and the Pioneer Center to put together the evacuation procedures and try to understand, you know, what that would look like if we ever did need to, you know, if we ever had a fire in one of those facilities. How do we manage the evacuation process, you know, the medication, the accountability, the transportation, you know, where are you going to house them, those kind of questions that are coming up. And there's definitely a complex issue. Again, I go to many cooperative service meetings and try to make sure that our agency is working well with our neighbors and state, federal, and local level. Any questions on the fire warden report?
Thank you.
The Harris report, the radio system, we have a new project manager. We were falling behind on our project schedule. I just before I came in to meet with you today, I made a quick phone call to the new project manager and said, hey, I want to make sure I'm giving accurate information. And he asked me to express his support for the project, and he told me that his full intention is to get as close to back on schedule as we possibly can right now. But there's no question we're significantly behind schedule, but I can say this, is that I've seen more progress in the last 2 weeks than I've seen in the previous 6 months. So it's been very good to see a new project manager involved there, and we're starting to make some headway there. We were doing meetings every other week. Now we're doing them every Thursday. The preliminary FCC licenses were submitted, and that was one thing I was trying to confirm with the project manager today. Was I said, you know, help me understand what that means, and the way he described it to me is that you send in a series of paperwork. He sent in the first paperwork that establishes those FCC licenses, and that has been submitted. So that was one of the major milestones that we've been waiting on, and everything else really kind of hinged on that. So now that we've identified those frequencies, they've done the radio frequency interference analysis and all the engineering that's behind that, then that now identifies what we needed to. It was kind of the last hinge pin that everything else was waiting on. So now we've got that in place. Everything else is really going to start falling in place as well.
So you've submitted that. Now, has it been stamped and everything's okay?
Absolutely not. Yeah. So the FCC will take for approximately 60 days if there's no problems to stamp and approve those licenses. Once they do stamp and approve them, though, they're ours. We can install them and move forward with it. Okay. But that's the FCC actually does a lot of engineering and making sure that we're not going to cause problems with our neighbors, and that's really what we're going to be waiting on. But that was really critical that we got that started, because that 60-day delay that we were concerned about. So going into each one of the towers, on the White Pine Tower, I had a meeting yesterday with Rob Holscher. Did he give an update this morning about that at all?
No.
Okay. So I'm it's been 30 days since we submitted the application to the Forest Service to ask for the tower modification on the White Pine site. I met with Rob yesterday because I knew I wanted to give an update today. Rob told me that his cultural and heritage coordinator from the Forest Service is meeting with the tribal liaison on Monday next week, and then that's part of their requirements, is they need to do a site visit and review that. So I'm waiting to hear back the results of that meeting. The other thing he told me is he's waiting for a stamped professional engineer approved tower drawing, and Dave Smith tells me that we should have that next week, actually. So once we have the professional engineer's tower drawing in place, which includes the foundation and the architectural drawings and everything that needs to be done with that, then that should move forward, and we should be able to receive approval from the Forest Service to build out the White Pine Tower.
So the meeting and the site visit is expected to be next Monday?
I know the Forest Service meeting is supposed to be next Monday with the cultural coordinator, where he's bringing the tribal liaison. I couldn't tell you anything more than that. As far as I know that Dave's bringing the tower company up, and I was under the impression they were actually supposed to be there this week. If not this week, then definitely next week. And they're supposed to actually do the tower people have to actually look at the existing foundation, the space available, and come up with a plan for building a new tower.
Are these the same tribal people that you and Andy met with?
I did confirm that it's the exact same tribal liaison that Andy and I met with.
You had me worried there. Yeah. I thought we might be starting all over.
Yeah, I was worried about that as well. Yeah.
Will you be involved in that meeting?
I was not invited to that meeting. We met with Wildlink. We invited Wildlink up here a couple of weeks ago, and Wildlink drove to the White Pine site with me and put together a plan for how to co-locate both their system and our system on the new proposed 150-foot tower. So we've got a plan in place. We've identified exactly what space requirements are going to be necessary. And then furthermore, inside the actual shelter itself, where all the combiners and the hardware and equipment and repeaters and so on, right now it's very crowded inside that shelter. We also came up with a space-saving plan to move their equipment to one side of the room and then free up space for our equipment on the other side of the room. So that was one of the critical things we needed to make happen, and we got that done. And then approved the geotech survey for the White Pine site, which allows them to drill down and check, make sure the soil compaction is going to support the tower, both on the White Pine site and the Kismet site. And what Billy said earlier about getting the road access, that was one of the, because it takes a big truck to get all the way up in there, so we were waiting on that. And then as soon as we got the geotech survey done, then we can move forward with actually building the towers. And so it really, we're starting to really make a lot of progress here within the last couple of weeks. And like it shows there, once we get the geotech done, then we can get the towers done. Once we get the towers done, hopefully we can get some concrete poured. If we can get the concrete poured before the weather closes us out, really we can stand the towers up in a very short amount of time. And even with some snow on the ground, we can stand the towers up. Once the towers are in place, you can snow machine in and install the electronic equipment in the shelters. So everything is the weather window is, if we can get the concrete done before the weather window, we're going to be perfectly fine. But if we get shut out before when the weather starts flying, then really that's going to significantly delay the project. So we're down to the wire right now, because I know the weather window's coming up very, very soon. Kismet Tower, the lease modification's been submitted. We're currently waiting approval. And like Billy said, Road and Bridge completed the minor repairs. Hogsback, part of Hogsback is in the agreement. Harris is going to install a new shelter for us, and BLM wanted a site plan to show exactly where that new shelter was going to go, and so we were waiting on that. And then as soon as we have that approval, then Harris will install that shelter, and then we're waiting on the 30-foot extension to be installed up there. Marbleton SO, should be pouring concrete today. If not today, then definitely Monday. So the foundation for the new Marbleton SO tower should be done here within the next couple of days. And then as soon as the tower's done, then we'll install as soon as the concrete's done, we'll install the tower, and then we can actually get started. What we're hoping to do is actually install the geo-redundant core and all the electronics and everything in the Marbleton SO, and at least get that stood up, and then they can start making those relays and links and everything from the Marbleton SO, because it's not live yet, and so that way it doesn't impact the 911 dispatch that's here in Pinedale. And so that should actually go very well. The Enterprise Tower, Enterprise has decided not to transfer the BLM lease to the county. So instead they've offered a $0 cost lease to the county to install our equipment in return for connecting our generator to their equipment. So in other words, they would benefit from the backup generator power supply. Matt Gaffney's currently reviewing their proposed lease and working with Enterprise to amend as necessary. There's several clauses in there that we would not be able to sign as they proposed, that would restrict public safety and negatively impact the mission critical communications. So until we can get those clauses worked out, we won't be able to sign the lease agreement that they've proposed. But Matt Gaffney's working with Enterprise to address those, and I hope to get that moving forward with something that we can actually present to the commission and get signed here real soon, because it's again, we're down to the wire. We need to start moving forward with this project. And that's all I have on the radio system.
Kind of questions. Well, thanks, Chad. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question and a comment, Mr. Chairman. Thinking about the White Pine Tower, and certainly with regard to the spirit of collaboration, would it be beneficial perhaps to have either Commissioner Noble or the chairman talk to Rob with at least a request that perhaps both Commissioner Noble and Chad could be included in this meeting with the tribal folks on Monday, especially in light of the fact that Commissioner Nelson and Chad have already met with them? I mean, if we're truly working on a collaborative effort towards this, is there any reason that should not be included or considered?
I would think it would be a given in my mind that you should have been invited.
But they haven't, so I guess what I'm asking, is it worth a phone call? And I don't know, and Commissioner Noble, you feel comfortable making that, but just from the commission standpoint, since we were involved with the tribal council before, if they're coming here to review that with the Forest Service, it would be good to not only show that we're working together, but be present if there's any concerns or issues moving forward, and all the parties are together.
Do they have a timing set for that yet?
I couldn't tell you. I was just informed by Rob that the meeting was going to occur, and I didn't get any further information on that.
Should we, when will Andy be back?
I'm not sure. I would imagine Sunday night, probably. Sunday afternoon.
Today's Friday. Could you just call Rob sometime today and tell him we would like Chad to be invited to that meeting?
And perhaps
Tom, if he wants to go.
However it works out, I'll be happy to join.
Going along with my tirade earlier, should be nice to have all the parties in the same room, especially we are the major party. It's our tower. We're the ones that are trying to put this together. So whether for no other reason than to listen to what's being said.
Especially if there's concerns.
Yes.
We've gotten the letter of support from the tribal liaison. He's reviewed our proposal, and, and given us letter support, as well as the governor has given us a letter support for this as well. But I think it would make sense if there was concerns that were brought up during that meeting that we were able to address those concerns in a timely manner and not delay the project, at least even firsthand.
Frankly, more concerned about concerns that the Forest Service might throw in at the last minute, as opposed to, it seemed pretty clear after your meeting with the tribal leaders, they're on board. We just don't want a monkey wrench.
Well, we've already had a lengthy discussion with Forest Service today about time being of an essence to them. So I think, you know, that works both ways.
Yeah.
It was on the wrong side of the highway, though.
Mm-hmm.
We always did.
Any other questions for Shad? Okay, thank you, Shad.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Shad.
Enjoy your day.
Thanks for getting us almost caught up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
One more thing, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mr. Chairman, Shad came and talked to me this week. They have some time and interest in writing a State Loan and Investment Board grant. It would be for federal mineral royalty capital construction money. We used to do that a long time ago. And for the purpose of some money for either to use for a truck to defray some of the cost of our trucks or to help with our Pinedale Fire Hall repairs that we're doing. Application is due in September, but we need a resolution that authorizes the application to go forward. And I have a resolution number for you. The resolution isn't exactly together because we need some numbers and some more information to put it together, but time is of the essence.
But again.
And actually we could sign off. You could approve the resolution today and we could sign it off at the next meeting. We still have time, right? So
you're looking for a motion to approve a resolution that would authorize a grant application.
Right.
For, say again?
Federal Mineral Royalty Capital Construction account funds from the State Loan and Investment Board.
Do I have
I got
there you
it.
Go. He just so
I got
moved.
It.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded.
Just for a point of discussion, I apologize. Do you want to let you vote? I know.
Go ahead and tell us.
What Mary said is absolutely accurate, but there'd be two separate things. What I'm looking for is grant assistance to pay for fire trucks. But then at a second application, we would submit a second. Every 6 months, the State Land Investment Board reviews these applications. So we would submit a second grant at a later date to apply for grant funds for the fire station as well. And what I'm trying to do is just try to seek additional assistance to help pay for these very expensive projects.
So to clarify then, this comes out of the state's share of the federal mineral royalty money. If it's through the SLIB board.
It's through the SLIB board. It's through the mineral royalties grant. I'm not sure how exactly that works, though. I couldn't tell you where their portion of it comes from.
48% of the federal mineral royalties come back to the state. So it's out of that side. It's not out of the federal side, or you'd be applying to Department of Interior.
Okay, I understand.
So anyway, that clarifies it. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Okay, we'll make a resolution.
Make it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your support.
Thank you, Shad.
You bet. No worries.
Keep up the good work as usual.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Barry. Appreciate that. I forgot all about it.
Yep, no problem.
Need a break before we do old business? You'll get on with it.
No. Keep moving.
Okay. Good. Old business, Rural Healthcare District lease extension. We have two members here, come on up. How are you, Scott?
Good. How are you guys today?
Good.
Good.
We've been doing a month-to-month extension. Do we have any discussion on how to move forward, Commissioner?
Well, my thoughts, Marion, correct me if I'm wrong. From May till now, we have incurred close to $7,000, both for appraisal costs and with Todd Hurd's involvement, moving forward on the appraisal of the clinic. Is that correct? Is that a ballpark figure?
Yeah.
My thought, or my motion would be that for the next month's lease, and we are taking this right now on a month-to-month basis, I would make the motion that next month's lease be set at $12,000. And in so doing, we would have successfully recaptured the money that we have spent in that time frame. If you add up the difference between the $10,000 increase for 2 months, the increase in difference between that and the proposed $12,000 this month, it comes up to right at $7,000. So my motion would be that we to make the lease agreement for next month in the amount of $12,000.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion. Scott? Commissioners? Any discussion?
Well, I understand why the motion was made together for the increase it by $2,000. So now we're even. But by the time you come back to us next month, I'm under the impression you will have made a decision where this is going to be, whether that it's going to be at the clinic or at the Bloomfield.
That is the expectation. The board at their meeting in November. I'm getting my months off lately. July, they made a motion that we would make a decision no later than August 29th, which is next Wednesday. And the reason we held off that decision, as you may recall, is that we learned, number one, that we actually can use the clinic without needing to remodel it to a hospital standard. And so the board put off the making the decision a month in order to give time for consideration to see if we could make that project work at the clinic. The problem with the project being able to work at the clinic is we are approximately $5 million over budget in order to make it work there. Wendy, Trustee Bowman was tasked with coming to the commissioners to discuss and see if that, and that cost is all site acquisition, the $4.2 million, whatever that number comes out with the county commissioners, and the expected $2 to $3 million for the cost of relocating ball fields and such. The town of Pinedale is working on refining what those costs might be for them. They're supposed to have a report Monday night from engineers on doing a site analysis of two different sites they're looking at for acquisition of what it would cost to relocate ball fields to there. We still haven't had a report back from Wendy on whether she has made had any success with your group in lowering that cost. But we can only, our budget is at $28 million for this project, $17 million of which is construction. The reports we've gotten back are that, yes, we can save some money by not building the clinic, but there's other costs, and the rough estimate is that it's still roughly $17 million, give or take a couple hundred thousand here or there. And so the site acquisition is the total difference between the two sites in terms of the project. If it costs us $4 to $6 million to procure sites to build up at the clinic, we're that far over a $28 million budget. So it's going to come down to that kind of a decision apparently on Wednesday night. That if we can't get the clinic for a significantly lower number than you've offered it, then we're just so much over budget that there's no way that we could afford to build up at that site and be within budget at all. And so that's become one of the hard facts of life, is that site acquisition has become the significant difference in whatever site we build on.
Mr. Chairman, and I fully understand that you have to consider the cold hard facts, and I think as I said the last time that we spoke, it is your decision to make, and we respect whatever decision you come up with. I did talk with Wendy Bowman after our last meeting And I did, as I promised to her, canvass the board in terms of their thoughts regarding her two concerns at that time, and that was a turn lane on, having a turn lane on Eamon Lane, and would the commissioners be willing to reduce the cost any further. This was by phone call consensus, and the consensus at that time was the opinion of the commissioners was we thought that there probably would need, there would need to be a turning lane on Eamon Lane. We haven't got any engineering input, but just as a matter of canvassing the board, that was the decision made. The other thing in presenting that request to the commissioners, the consensus opinion from the commissioners was that we feel like we have made our best offer, and right now the decision is up to you and your board in terms of which way you will go, considering all things, whether it's the ball fields, cost, whatever. And once again, I respect you in that position and the decision you have to make.
May I ask on the turn on the Eamon Lane turn lane?
Yes.
I'm not sure where that came into the conversation ever, but the only use that the hospital has designed on the Bloomfield side, if we were to choose there, is an ambulance approach.
And, you know, we didn't discuss that. It was simply a request from Wendy in terms of a question. What would the commissioner say? What is their opinion on a turn lane being needed? And the opinion was we think it's going to be needed. Have we got any engineering input? Have we got input from our people at Road and Bridge? I don't think so. So we have nothing other than your basic question is, are you of the opinion you think it would be needed? And the consensus opinion was yes.
Okay. I was just curious where it came from. I mean, it came to us out of the blue. It had
came to us from Wendy. it was a request from Wendy.
Okay.
It didn't come from us.
Yeah,
it was a request to answer that question.
Okay.
I think it's a legitimate concern on you guys' behalf to address that before.
Address the turn lane?
Yeah.
Well, actually, it was addressed in the Bloomfield subdivision report, and it was decided that for that project, any development in that project, the town had saw no need from the traffic study that was produced that there would need to be a turn lane on Eamon Lane. But anyway, so we have looked at that from that particular standpoint, where this is a town project. They've that part of that, you know, 230-acre Bloomfield, they looked at all of that. And that was the report that Matt Murdock sent out to us about a month ago or something. That was my understanding of that report. So. But again, that's neither here nor there at this point.
Mr. Chairman, going back to Scott, the lady from the USDA, her name slips me.
Right.
The time frame, you're coming to us every month for a decision on what the rent's going to be. And so do you have any idea when Lorraine Warner is going to give you the up or down, so to speak, of, sure, we're going to loan you the money to build this hospital, wherever it may be? Do you have any idea when that's going to be?
Our hope, I don't know if that I can use the word expectation, I can almost use the word expectations, before the end of September.
Okay. I just
because
you're going to be right back here in another month if you don't,
until a decision isn't made.
Because then a decision will have to be made whether you purchase it from us, if I'm not mistaken, or you go the other direction. Where do we go with the rent of the building?
Well,
or the purchase of the building, whatever. Yeah. Okay.
That's, as I said, it's a definite hope and a strong expectation. She hasn't said that it would be done by them, but that would be the hope and expectation based on timing and everything that we know.
Okay. What's her name?
Lorraine Warner.
Warner.
So, Scott, is it your expectation when you have your meeting on the 29th that the healthcare district will make a decision and then forward an application to Lorraine Warner? Is that what you're saying?
We will forward a revised application with some revised submittals, yes.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, okay, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. Next item, discuss scheduling of the WPLI report presentation. Where do we go with WPLI?
Heavy reading.
Recommendations from you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Well, we're at some point, if we do anything other than just ignore it, we have to have a public hearing.
Right.
So we need some kind of a recommendation to move forward for a public hearing.
But that has to, does that come from us? Or does it come from the proposals? Or a combination?
Well, that's up to us. I mean, we can take the proposals and we can make out of them whatever we as a commission choose to make. And we can have our own recommendation.
Would it make,
and,
so we do that, we go through that process at the public meeting?
Well, we need to come up with a recommendation, something to propose that we have a hearing on.
Okay.
That's what we need to do.
So we make the recommendation, and then we say, okay, we're going to have a hearing at 7 o'clock at night. All the people come in. Do we give that recommendation out to whether newspaper or online or whatever, so everybody can see what we are recommending?
That's
then they
what
come
we
in and
do.
Voice their opinion to our recommendation.
We need to have a recommendation, and then we're going to have a hearing on that recommendation, so the public knows ahead of time what our recommendation is, and they have the opportunity to come in and voice their opinion on what we think we want to do.
So would it be appropriate for us to put that on our agenda item for the next meeting, that we as a board come together and have that discussion and make that recommendation, after which we can send it to a public meeting?
If that's what we want to do.
I don't know whether
So
we each get our ideas in.
Sure.
Who's going to put it together?
Well, could we work through that on that? In other words, if I have an idea on Shoal Creek or Scab Creek or Lake Mountain, and I write it down and say, here's what I think, and give it to Matt.
Well,
we give them to each other.
That's right.
Give it to each other.
You know,
yeah.
We write down your ideas, and then we schedule it for discussion,
sure,
at our next commission meeting,
right.
And if we agree on a recommendation,
then
we go to a public hearing.
That's what I thought.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Okay.
So we need to be prepared for our next first meeting in September.
Yeah.
To have recommendations, individual recommendations from each one of us presented, so that we can.
And I will not be here, by the way. My recommendation is short and sweet, and I can forward it.
Well,
for
that's
discussion
what we need.
At the next
absolutely.
Meeting.
Okay. But I guess my
can you
question
call
is,
in by chance? For
I'll be on my way to D.C.
Okay.
For
our recommendation cannot be carved in stone, can it? In other words, if we make a recommendation and the room fills up,
we can
and
change
all of a sudden
it.
Somebody's comes up with
something
a good
compelling.
Idea.
Sure.
We can think,
amend.
That's
well,
not
a,
bad.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
All right, very good.
I mean, all we're asking to do is come up with our thoughts with regards to the three proposals
right.
we were given.
Right.
And have a
come up with
it.
An idea, and then we, as a commission, will discuss that.
Yep.
You could hold a public hearing, take public comment, and then make a decision. Have another meeting to make the decision if you wanted to review that. Or whatever.
We can have a proposed recommendation. We have a public hearing. Depending on that hearing, we either change it or not change it and forward it to WCCA.
What is our timeline to get this recommendation forwarded to WCCA?
Years.
We haven't really have any
there's not one.
Set in concrete timeline.
So no
some of the
there.
WPLI groups are getting things together like this month.
Okay. All right.
One of them I read about was anyway, I forget. Fremont County or Park County, I don't remember which one.
I just want to make sure for myself personally that I'm open-minded enough to after what I've read from the committee, now I want to hear from, and they may not show up. It may be like everything else. Nobody may show up, and then we're on our own.
Everybody's on
show. Well, we need to make sure the best effort.
Yeah, yeah. But to hear what they have to say about our proposal, one way or the other.
Okay. So get your ideas ready for discussion at the first meeting.
And this will be under old business again?
No, I think I'll schedule it.
Schedule it
with
as a
some
separate.
Time as a separate item.
Right. Right.
Okay.
We better schedule. Yeah. If there's time on the agenda, you better schedule an hour for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
okay.
We'll schedule it up for the afternoon.
Okay. Let's start.
Start banging
the bills out. And
get, you got anything to report?
See what we have to report.
And Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Tom?
Elena brought the new state broadband director in yesterday.
The day before.
Just for us to meet. I met him, Sam Bixel was there, Elena, and Russ is his name. Seems like they made a great choice. He's a go-getter. Other than that, there you go. That's all I got for old business.
Commissioner Burnett?
A couple things. Number one, I met with Albert Summers, had a opioid task force meeting at Lovett Library on Tuesday, and I attended that. They will be having one more interim committee meeting before they recess till the regular session. Number two, I did meet with the administrator at the Sublet Center along with Mike Straw to discuss that exact program planning for Rendezvous Point, Pioneer Center, and the Sublet Center. And that was, I think, very informative and constructive, and I think it's going to come up with a solid plan for any future emergencies that may arise at those three facilities. So I'm positive about that. The only other thing I had to report, I've already reported, and when I talked to Scott Sherbel recently, is that I did report back to Wendy Bowman the canvas of the board of the questions that I had, simply stating that it was the consensus opinion. Fully understanding recently what consensus is, not necessarily majority, but it was the consensus opinion. So I've already given that report, but that's all I have.
Yeah. I do have one thing to add, Joel.
Yeah, Tom, go ahead.
CTC is pretty much to the position where they're going to bring the grant that they wrote for our approval here shortly. We've had a really tough time getting the letter together from the industry. We're supposed to receive the last letter today at some point, and then we should be hearing from CTC for that grant.
Okay.
There you go.
I've been kind of AWOL trying to get some hay. Still have a ways to go, but the only thing I have is the upcoming failed SRS fly-in the first week in September. I do have separate meeting scheduled with Department of Interior and the Forest Service to follow up on the concept of if you want to support the decision-making process being moved closer to the local and state level, I'm going to invite them to come to Wyoming and work with our governor candidates and Governor Meade to have a real in-depth discussion about how can you make that work on the ground. And that's my intent of that conversation. I will follow up on the Forest Service guidebook and the BLM cooperating agencies and coordination desk guide. I've got meetings set up for that. On Friday morning of that week, all the participants were have been invited to the White House, and part of that will be a meeting with Undersecretary Bernhardt with Interior, and I'm not sure what he will have on the agenda, but hopefully it'll be some follow-up of Secretary Zinke's priorities. We'll just see how it goes. And that's all I have to report.
If that meeting does occur, Joel, do you think it obviously being Cheyenne?
More than likely, I will, depending on, I have not had a chance yet to talk to Governor Meade or any of his staff. I was going to try and follow up on that maybe this afternoon to see if they agree to come to Wyoming. The logical place would be in Cheyenne, and with the governor's cabinet and the governor candidates need to be involved, because this is going to carry over into the next administration for the state. No question of that. So, but just see where it goes.
Do you foresee that open to other county commissioners and all of the above?
Probably for some commissioners from the public lands counties that are on the WCCA Public Lands Committee would likely need to be involved, as well as the existing governor's cabinet, Game and Fish, Department of Ag, State Lands. We've been through that part before here a few years ago and didn't wind up coming up with anything, but because we didn't have the support of the then existing administration to do anything. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Okay, thank you. Joel, I did, and I don't know if I told you this, but I did get put on that NACO Veterans Committee.
Oh, good, good.
And so we need to talk whether I stay on the public lands one or not. That we'll talk.
Yeah, okay. There definitely be time, if you're going to go there and participate in the veterans, to be on a steering committee.
Yeah.
Whether it's public lands or EELU or, you know, whichever.
I didn't understand what, and I guess they said that I would be getting correspondence emails or whatever on this group.
Yeah.
What they do, what they don't do. And
Mary, who do we have going through NACO?
You mean Waco?
Waco, yeah.
Matt, Joel.
Is that in Texas?
Mary?
No, Cheyenne.
Okay. You're going
back?
Yeah, I'm
Joel,
going. Roxanne is going.
Roxanne again?
Yeah, Janice. Janice is the president of the Assessors Association.
Okay, so she's got to
so
be.
She's gotta be there. I don't know if Janet's going. She might be.
Can I approach to ask something about that WPLI?
Yeah, go ahead, Joy.
And by the way, I got it, Mac.
I beg your pardon?
You said, is that in Texas? So I got it. Nobody
you
else.
See, no, yeah, it goes over there, though. Yeah, my sense of humor is wasted.
Well, I let's talk about your
we just ignore it.
Listen,
that's why it didn't go over my head.
Okay, I was just, I've been trying to follow up with the WPLI, the sublet committee, and I was told that they were supposed to turn in reports to you guys about the things they disagreed with, why they voted against. And I thought they were posted on the sublet WPLI.org, but they're not. And there's just what they submitted to you all. And there isn't anything on the official county website under WPLI. There's a few minutes. But I'm wondering if about the possibility of getting the committee members' reports that you've received and that recommendation on the official website under WPLI.
We haven't posted anything.
I know. That's what I mean. Is it possible to get that?
Ask these guys.
It's, if it's something that people, I mean, the sublet.wpli.org website appears to be no longer functioning. All they have on there, as far as, I mean, I haven't been able to find anything but the proposal that they brought you on there.
It would be, I don't have any problem with giving you what they gave us, but I'm thinking at the time they made those during their meetings, they were on their, probably posted on their website at that time. Because they discussed it in there.
They were supposed to submit to you as a commission, along with their recommendation, why they were anti a certain proposal.
Okay.
Have you received them? I think they.
Yeah.
You've received them from all of the members?
Yeah.
Not each and every member, but there were groups of members had a proposal, and it was voted a 5 by other members, and then they said why they voted a 5. Does anybody have any problem with giving all that pile of stuff to Joy?
But I'd like
to give it to the public.
I was at the last meeting that they had, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought, because you asked the same question of them at that time, and I thought the answer from them was that they were going to post it on their website. I have no problem with that.
It's not just to me. I just like the public.
I understand. But you asked that question.
Yeah, I know. And I've emailed Steve Swatko, the facilitator, and I've heard not a single word back from him. I think.
I think the public's entitled to it.
I just would like to see it somewhere. And if no one's managing that .org website anymore, then the best place would be the website under WPLA.
I think the biggest disappointment from us, or from me personally, was that, and this happened before I was ever a commissioner, was that they were given the task of giving the commission a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get that.
I know.
We got proposals.
You know what? I sat through almost every meeting.
I don't know how you did.
I just did.
Okay, well, good for you.
It seemed like it got where things started out fairly amiable and, you know, there was a lot of compromise on everyone's part. But at the end, to be perfectly honest, it came down to scatterbrick. The one person wanted wilderness, and the rest wanted a national conservation area so people could go in and do work there. And so all other, anything else that didn't hold so quick as total wilderness was shot down by one person, basically.
But correct me if I'm wrong, there's not any of those proposals that didn't have at least 2 5s on it, right? So it wasn't just one person?
It depends. Yeah. No, I saw the straw votes.
Yeah.
On them, but it was because if they had done them separately, you know, like Lake Mountain, they would have been fine with that. They had their agreements on that, but it came down to, well, if I don't get total wilderness on Scab Creek, then I'm going to make a fuss on Shoal Creek.
And this is what Doc and I had this discussion the other day. We were traveling, and I was a little confused with that because I had read all the way through it, and it did boil down to it was a group vote rather than an individual vote. We're going to vote on Shoal Creek, Scab Creek, and Lake Mountain.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that way. I was very confused.
All three options
right.
included
well,
three areas.
I think, and I'm not sure why they ended up doing it that way. I know been meeting for so long, and I think there are a few people that wish they could have reached consensus. In fact, I know there are a few people that thought they could have, but if SCAD Kirk was the tipping point.
Let me ask you a question, and you were there. When did the word consensus come into the discussion?
Was it from the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
That was in the charter.
It's in the charter.
To have consensus.
Okay.
But actually it came from the charter, it didn't come from the WCCA. Because the WCCA, when they gave the direction to form these committees, their direction, their charge was that you make recommendations to us. And it's only when they developed the charter that they came up with the idea of consensus.
And I think there, that was Steve Smith
I can
who developed
clarify
the
that.
Charter.
Yeah,
a little
I think
bit.
That he wanted, I think he or his group had a big vision of pulling all these people together and coming up with something that would be really kind of a breakthrough. And I think this is all just my opinion. I think that's why they wanted consensus, was to get people to work through.
That's hard.
It was hard because things kept changing. You know, it was very fluid. It'd be like, well, how about, you know, I'll give you this if you'll give me that. And
I have a question. And I don't know if it's for you or Joel or whoever.
Hi.
You said Steve Snitsko put the charter together. I was under the impression Ruckelhaus put the charter. Am I wrong?
He works.
Yeah. Oh.
Because it shouldn't have been one of the board members building the charter for the whole thing.
Okay. WCCA approved a draft charter.
Charter, okay.
And it had the concept of consensus in it. But the difference in opinion had to do with what does consensus really mean? And the intent of WCCA's draft charter in the discussion of consensus, it did not mean necessarily every single member of the group. It meant as close to that as you can possibly get, with the people that just plain could not go with it, had the opportunity to say why. So right. They vote right. A five, then they're obligated to put it in writing.
Yep.
Right.
And provide it.
Well, and that's
yet there was a discussion within the collaborative that consensus had to mean everybody. And that was not the intent. I'll guarantee you that was not the intent of the draft charter, because I helped develop it for WCCA. It was meant to bring as close to within one or two, and with that definition of consensus, you could actually say that if you've got six out of eight people, that's it's a strong enough majority to say it's consensus with two negative votes. That was the intent, but it was not interpreted that way.
No, I think they understood that. That was discussed, you know, having to report on, you know, being negatively, you know, really against something. But I think the frustration came in that it just was like, well, some of them were ready to, I think Smitherman was ready to walk away a number of times. He got upset, and then it just became a wilderness versus multiple public use.
But didn't Smitherman have the same issue or same problem? Did he serve on the Teton County WPLI?
He did, and they didn't reach
right,
consensus
they
either. They walked out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they had 20 people when they started. According to somebody, they had 13 when they ended. So, but then in Fremont County, I guess, you know, it might have been because there are three such totally different WSAs here too, instead of one or two. But there are three really important places. Anyway, I mean, I can ask the committee for their reports. I just think, for their response. I just think it'd be good to have that all together if you're going to be putting together a public hearing, so people have that background.
Well, that's what we have right now as a basis for determining what we're going to do, whether we use that or not use it.
I just would like to.
But one thing to keep in mind, and it's something I probably should have had more in mind, because I had a lot to do with appointing the members to the collaborative. But there was only one person on that entire collaborative that had absolutely nothing to lose, and that was Dan Smitherman.
Right.
And I didn't give that enough consideration because they're managed as wilderness now.
And that's
so
something that I don't
that
think
gave him the incentive to say no to everything that didn't absolutely meet his objective. And then at one of those meetings when he made the comment, my bosses will not allow me to agree.
Mm-hmm.
My intent that was that every one of those members be a local Sublette County citizen and would take into account the values of the people they represent in Sublette County. And that did not happen in that case.
Right.
And that, in my view, that is a lot of what caused the failure of that collaborative.
Yeah, I don't think he's, just personally, for him to be on two of them seems to me to be, have been a little much.
I agree.
But,
sense volumes that they both play.
I don't think, I honestly don't think that anyone that got in there at the beginning thought of that. I don't even know if that crossed his mind for
quite a while. I don't know either.
It
didn't come
at some point
until after the fact.
It obviously did. But no, I think it. I think that got pointed out. Someone brought it up at one of the meetings. Well, you've got nothing to lose. Well, I think it finally dawned on them that maybe he wasn't going to compromise. It's like they all went in with good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really honestly believe everyone in there.
I thought everybody on that group bent over backwards to try and.
I mean, Bill Lanning would say, well, the motorized recreation, they feel strongly about this route, and well, let's talk about this. I mean, everyone worked together really well, and they'd go back and talk to a few people and come back and report it. But
it seems to me towards the end, you're right, that everybody made concessions. Everybody representing different groups gave a little bit.
Well, and they did along the way, too. It all changed so many times, and a lot of were proposed wilderness lines, new boundaries, or something like that.
The reason, in the big picture, for trying to reach consensus was that this was put together amidst a lot of this discussion involved Travis McNiven, who works for Barrasso.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Was that if we go to Congress with a bill that they can say, we reached consensus on this in Wyoming, and if the Wyoming Wilderness Society says, yes, we reached consensus, then there's a chance it might get through the Senate.
Right.
Otherwise, when you get the national environmental groups automatically opposing it, it will not get through Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the purpose behind the concept of consensus. But the way this turned out with Dan opposing everything, it isn't going to matter what we do as a commission. When it gets, if it gets in a Senate bill, it's not going to go anywhere. So the idea of reaching consensus was that it go someplace.
Mm-hmm.
So what incentive do we have now as a commission to try and do something when we know the Wilderness Society is going to oppose it? We just as well go with Liz Cheney's version to release to multiple use, because we know they're going to oppose it anyway.
Yeah.
So
and he said that the last meeting, that it didn't matter what happened at that meeting. This was at the Weed and Pest. And he said, I am going to oppose it and everybody that my organization is going to oppose it. And he almost said to the Supreme
Court. That's right, he did.
Yeah, yes. they've already made that clear.
And it was, and so for me going there for, well, maybe the second time, and thinking, I felt sorry for all the other people that were just had their heads down after 2 years of doing this. Mm-hmm. But he flat told me, I don't care what you do, I'm going to fight you to the Supreme Court on this. And so, boy, that was kind of eye-opening for me.
But so the reason I'm saying that, Joy, is what incentive do we now have to try and take their recommendations that were based on a really strong effort to reach consensus? We no longer have any incentive to do that because we know they're going to, that the Wilderness Society will oppose it anyway.
Wow.
So this is my own personal view that I'm going to probably support release to multiple use with the exception of no surface occupancy for energy development in Shoal Creek and Scab Creek. Mm-hmm. Full release on Lake Mountain. That's why I made my recommendation is going to be simple.
The RMP, they
all will.
Their RMP down at Lake Mountain, I think they've already got a lot of protections, like active protections in
place.
Oh,
there's things going there
that
now.
Watershed.
Sure, for the cutthroat trout.
Right.
Absolutely, in Rock Creek.
So,
nobody has any problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I think, you know, even though they talked about a lot of different things there, I think that was the main, that and continued grazing were the main concerns. And, you know, like you said, NSO, so they could do some horizontal drilling if they needed to.
Well, and nobody's been able to explain to me a valid reason for taking an absolute no leasing position as opposed to NSO provisions.
Yeah.
If you can drill under the ground and get that gas out with no footprint, then the only reason you could be opposed to it is like a philosophical religious reason that we shouldn't be taking natural gas out from under a wilderness area.
Or they don't agree with fossil fuels.
Or you just don't want to develop it anyway.
But the discussion around the coffee table in the Marbleton Inn is that most of these companies are starting to do away with directional drilling because it's so expensive. Hmm. And they're having so much problem with it, they're just going straight down. Hmm. So, takes it out of the picture altogether, if that's true.
Unless you look at the horizontal drilling that Ultra just completed.
Well, but...
Have you talked to them lately? They're going back to...
Are they going back to...
They're having
some
problems.
They said they're doing, one rig is going to continue to do horizontal, and the rest are all going back because their first rig did hit a burn burner, and with the horizontal one, they thought that was the new ticket, but then the next two holes did not, and they said the price increase between those differences isn't worth it. They're going to leave one rig doing horizontals, and the rest are going back to
Well, the other thing, they've got so much gas out here that it's easy to get to.
Sure.
Why the heck do they want to put a well pad on
that's
a wilderness study area?
Exactly.
I don't think they, in a thousand years.
Yeah.
You get on a certain plane, you may not.
We better go to lunch.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. Well, thanks for...